All's worth sayings. Question time review. Question time. The 26th of February, 2026. The panel, Lisa Nandy, Labour. Alicia Kearns, Conservative. Jess Brown Fuller, Lib Dem. Tom Kerridge, Chef. Esther Krakui, Journalist. The venue, Birmingham. Ghanaian Esther Krakui came to Britain with her parents when she was 14. A graduate, politics and French, of Bristol University, the 30-year-old began her career as a contributor to a conservative grassroots organisation, Turning Point UK. There, she had her own show on which, according to the Guff, she interviewed many famous faces such as Douglas Murray, Peter Hitchens and Brendan O'Neill. Pleasant on the eye, she appears on The Talk and runs her own YouTube channel. She has also written for or appeared on The Daily Mail, Daily Express, Spike Online, Good Morning Britain, Piers Morgan Uncensored, GB News, Talk TV, Sky News and Sky News Australia. A bit too easy on the eye, her socials are full of nothing other than endless pictures of herself in modelling poses. No sign of a cat, let alone a microphone and Douglas Murray, Peter Hitchens, Brendan O'Neill or penis moron. Not necessarily a bad thing. Incidentally, it's myself and Mrs. AWS's 30th wedding anniversary this weekend. In a message from the gods, 3 decades later, almost to the precise minute, Rangers play Celtic. All you need to know. In a rare outbreak of text on her agent's website, Miss Krakui confides that moving to Britain allowed her to flourish and freely pursue her passions, not least as a professional opinion haver, besides which I do many things. I am a writer, a broadcaster, a pole dancer, an above-average kizomba dancer. Oh. Tom Kerridge is a former child actor, turned chef, turned TV chef. Born in Salisbury, the 58-year-old is yet another country Manchester United supporter. Away from the 400-mile round trip to support his local team, Tom has an interest in 5 restaurants, some with Michelin stars. Tom's wife, Beth Cullen Kerridge, is a sculptor and artist. Her esteemed works include Tongue, pictured here. Unfortunately, somebody trod on it. Or did they? It's difficult to tell with the modern. A critique of some of Beth's other mighty art, plus highlights of her husband's not-so-carefully sculpted violent social media excesses aimed at ungrateful diners and critics, can be found in this previous edition of QT Review. Lisa Nandy is a Question Time ever-present. In between time, she is the Labour MP for Wigan and the current Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport. The 46-year-old Newcastle University law graduate has never had a job and is married to a lobbyist. Granddaughter of a lord, her father was an Indian public schoolboy in the race relations industry. Her mother and stepfather were television producers in Granadaland. Her sister is the brainy one who went to Oxford. A Burnhamite, she has been dispatched by Keith to the QT panel to be asked lots of difficult questions about Mandelson, university loans, etc. One thing she won't be asked about, one assumes, is the Gorton and Denton by-election. The polls don't close until 10 and QT is live-streamed at 9. There's supposed to be a media embargo on such things during the actual voting, hence all the pictures of dogs at polling stations. Will posh fake non-plumber Hannah Spencer and her rescue greyhound win the seat? By the time you read this, all will be clear, unless a recount or 3 is needed. At QT Review HQ, we have been weighing the odds and trying to weigh the postal votes, but we can't decide. Neither can the temp, who puts the Greens, Labour and Reform all within the margin of error of each other. If you just read that, then I didn't get out of bed early enough on Friday morning to alter my devious, wise and after-the-event copy. What nags at the back of the mind, as if a mangled steel tongue pressed into the skull, is that Keith visited on Monday. Ordinarily, you would keep a party leader well away from an anticipated defeat, So those on the ground in Gorton and Denton may be expecting Labour to outperform the national polls. Alicia Alexandra Martha Cairns is a posh Cambridgeshire girl born to lefty parents, a graduate of Fitzwilliam College, Cambridge, Social and Political Sciences. After university, she joined the civil service and worked in various government ministries' press offices. In the private sector, she is a former client services director with the global communications consultancy Global Influence and a director of the Great Britain China Centre, which shares an address with the 48 Group of British Traders with China. Fellows of the 48 Group have included a certain P. Mandelson. Alicia is Tory MP for Rutland and Stamford and Shadow Minister for Home Affairs. Jess Brown Fuller is the Liberal Democrat MP for Chichester and the party's spokesman on justice policy. The 34-year-old is a graduate in performing arts from the University of Chichester Department of Theatre. Or I thought so. Wrong again. Tonight's programme was advertised as a 9 p.m. stream, but then appeared on X as being a 10:40 start, i.e. after the 10 o'clock news and after the polling stations in Gorton and Denton have closed, which means a late night for me. Grrr. But it's not about the sleepheads at QT Review HQ. It's about Jake, who, via Question Time, wondered of integration. Or the lack of it. The programme had started in a different format than usual, with a second city backdrop, somehow managing to miss out 2 years of uncollected rubbish, over which Le Bruce heaved the Overton window towards Birmingham being a great, diverse, young, and coming out of bankruptcy city. Esther mentioned Urdu canvassing in Gorton and Denton. She didn't believe in multiculturalism, but in multiple ethnicities under one culture. People are being divided for a political party's, the Greens, advantage. She wanted forced integration through housing policy, like in Denmark, or, better still, Mr. Lee's Singapore. La Bruce disagreed and said that although 90% of Birmingham's Handsworth are black, many of them will have been British for many generations. No, Fiona, they're black and will remain so for many generations. Letha profoundly disagreed. She grew up in Manchester and was demonised. She lied about her family, see above. She blamed the Tories for stretched resources rather than mass, uncontrolled, unlimited immigration. Why is bankrupt Birmingham, where Jews are banned from football matches, so successful, she wondered, to applause from the carefully selected BBC audience? Because of multiculturalism. A 12-year-old in the audience, unfortunately, couldn't speak Punjabi. His grandmother, who is Indian, has never learned English as she isn't allowed to leave the house. All this is the fault of Whitey. Esther spoke clearly, but made the mistake of seeing mass immigration as an opportunity for integration rather than a straightforward evil. Alicia doesn't judge people by their skin colour. She was worried by the Green Party's triggering of Pakistanis by showing clips of Indian Prime Minister Mr. Modi with Keith. Her constituency is close to Leicester, perhaps too close, as she went on to remind us the Pakistanis and Indians in that place kick 7 bells out of each other from time to time. Likewise, Labour in the Batley and Spen by-election with their photos of Boris and Modi. Tom talked word soup multiculti nonsense, best ignored. Social infrastructure, incredibly connected, drive the vision, culturally rich, like the kind of gobbledygook on one of his menus where, no doubt, it takes 150 words to say fish and chips. We all benefit from racial and religious segregation, began Jess. Any shortcomings are due to cuts. The charity sector do amazing work. Building communities. Poor deluded soul. Question 2. Is it time to review hospitality business rates? The questioner, a local publican, noted he was being taxed to death. His son was supposed to be taking over the family business, but it's become a poisoned chalice. From Tom's perspective, his position as a restaurateur was equally difficult, but he acknowledged a secondary income from TV work. La Bruce explained the problem as a revaluation of business rates simultaneous with an end to COVID-era discounts. Tom went through the increases, ingredients, utilities, the minimum wage, national insurance payments. He suggested a cut in VAT and rhymed off the lower VAT rates in other countries. Letha recognised what they were saying. She got it. Inflation is coming down. The minimum wage going up means people on £12 an hour will have more to spend in the finest restaurants. Tom sighed. Girl fight! Esther interrupted, and Letha took the bait. Esther thought the politicians in Westminster are totally divorced from people in the country, and Letha's attempts at explaining economic cause and effect are plain wrong. Will you show some manners? Interrupted Letha. Absolute nonsense from start to finish, continued well-mannered Letha as she disagreed with Esther. A quite long and quite rude monologue from you, she said.
The girls are fighting! The girls are fighting!
The whole industry is on its knees, retorted Tom. A large gentleman in the audience with ruddy cheeks said he didn't work in pubs but supported them. Jess was triggered too. Politicians don't live in a Westminster bubble. There aren't bunk beds there. We go back to our constituencies and live our lives. She'd started working a tea room at 13 for £3 an hour. Instead of taxing hospitality to death, she would tax financial services to death. Nobody suggested the government spend less. £30,000 an hour, LaBruce even wondered if April's 60 pence an hour increase in the minimum wage might be unhelpful. And on that divisive note, it was time for bed.